This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to another great conversation on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. I promise that if you take action on the information we provide this week and every week, you're going to transform your health and your life. I've got another great show planned for you today, so grab a pen and paper, your favorite beverage, and let's get started. My guest today is Lisa Schmidt. Lisa is known as the Mindful Nutritionist. With over 25 years of experience helping people of all ages lose weight and manage disordered eating, she helps people answer the age-old question, if I know what I should be doing, then why is it so hard to do? Using her knowledge of nutrition, mindfulness, and body awareness, Lisa works with her clients in her private practice to support what she refers to as change activation. Lisa's a sought-after speaker on mindfulness, the connection between food and mood, and healthy behaviors. She's also writing a book titled Sustainable Living, Mindful Eating, which will be published in early 2015, which is just around the corner. Today, I'm excited to talk with Lisa about how you can use mindfulness to help you effortlessly lose unwanted weight and to maintain a healthy weight. And it's all done without drugs, medication, or giving up your favorite foods. This is a conversation that I'm really excited to share with you. Welcome, Lisa.
Thanks, Janelle. It's great to be here.
I'm really excited about this conversation, and it's one of my favorite topics, and I know it's one of yours, so we have a lot to talk about today. I'd love to get the conversation started. You call yourself a mindful nutritionist. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about what that means and a little bit more about your background?
Oh, I'd be happy to. First, let me just simply define what mindfulness means, what it is, and how it's studied and researched as an intervention that really helps people change. So mindfulness means paying attention to the present moment without judgment. For me, that simple definition characterizes the essence of the work that I do. And the work begins, for me, with my own practice of mindfulness. And by practice, I mean I have regular periods during my day where I practice paying attention to what's happening at the present moment without judgment. So that's the key that unlocks the practice of mindful eating. My background is I'm trained as a dietitian. I have a license called Certified Nutritionist, which is equivalent to a registered dietitian designation. I'm a whole foods-based nutritionist, meaning I help clients understand the benefits of whole foods, real foods, nutrition, just like you advocate. And I'm also had some extensive training as a health counselor. My own certifications include that of being a certified yoga instructor, and I work as a yoga therapist, using the modality of mindfulness as a way to help people access the change activation process that helps them develop new habits that lead to healthy behaviors.
Did you always focus on mindfulness, or is that something you've developed over the years as you've been working with patients and, you know, seeing results or lack of?
Well, I believe that my own practice refinements came following my graduate studies when I was immersed in the research and the evidence behind mindfulness-based interventions and how effective there in working with a variety of different health conditions. And in fact, mindfulness-based interventions are being promoted and implemented from organizations as diverse as the Department of Defense, the VA medical system, and big corporate employers such as Google, Target, General Mills, just to name a few. The research of mindfulness-based interventions is extensive, with thousands of very well-done, peer-reviewed clinical studies, all fancy ways of saying, the fancy language is saying that these mindfulness-based approaches are very effective. And I got really excited about the effectiveness of using mindfulness with overeating and disordered eating patterns as a way of helping clients gain more tools in order to help manage unwanted eating.
That sounds really interesting. One of the biggest challenges of working with people when you're dealing with mindful eating, do they have a block about doing it, or are people open to it? What makes someone want to do it, or what are some of the blocks that come up when people start to, when you have those conversations with people?
I think that the concept of mindfulness is not seen as unusual or maybe woo-woo as it may have been in the past, because there's been so much interest in mindfulness in the popular press, including a big cover story that was in Time magazine a few months ago, as well as just more openness for people to find approaches that don't involve drugs, very low-calorie restrictive dieting, or giving up foods that people love. So from my background in working with weight over 25 years ago, I was very involved in the Weight Watchers program and was a director of the organization. And so my interest in helping people lose weight began some time ago. And so I'm really familiar with the business of dieting, which I call the business of thin, which is a business that's designed to produce weight loss for most people. Unfortunately, for 95% of them, it's in the form of money as opposed to weight, because research shows that 95% of people that lose weight on a diet, commercial or otherwise, will regain all, if not more, of the weight that was lost. So people that come to me are looking for a different approach. They don't want to be on a restrictive diet. They don't want to give up the foods they love. They don't want to take medications or supplements or spend a lot of money on things that they don't know how they work in the body. And they're just looking for sustainable change. And that's why the approach of mindful eating poses such promise for people who have been there, done that, as most people I work with have.
Yeah, I really absolutely agree with your approach. And when we do our Eat Great, Live Well program, we talk to people about not giving up the foods they love, because if someone tells you you can't eat chocolate or you can't eat something, that's the only thing you think about until you have it. And we also tell people, so I love your statement about dieting, because people say, what diet do you recommend? And what I tell them is any diet will work in the short term if you're really focused on it, but the results are very short-lived, because once you stop focusing on it and paying attention to what you're doing and not following the rules, you're going to put the weight back on or more. Mm-hmm. So it's really about eating healthfully and being aware of what you're eating and how your body feels, which I think is one of the key things that people are so missing.
That's absolutely true. And the other piece of that I have found to be universally true is that we fantasize that a certain number on the scale is going to produce the kind of life that we want, that when we lose the unwanted weight, that magically our relationships will improve, we'll make more money, we'll have more friends, we'll be happier, we'll be healthier. And my experience with people, hundreds, perhaps thousands of people who have come into my life searching for the same answer, is that the magical transformation of their life does not happen with weight loss on the short term or long term. So not only do diets not work for the long term, but the process of dieting, going about it in a restrictive and sometimes punishing way, produces the opposite effect. It leaves people feeling very unhappy and disconnected from their bodies, and actually compounds, it leads to disordered eating, and it causes all kinds of very difficult side effects that lead people to more disconnection.
It does, and I don't know if I should admit that I watched this show or not, but we were watching Married at First Sight, and where couples were paired together based on their ideal profile of what they said they wanted. And one of the comments that one of the women made was, I asked for my ideal mate. What I didn't realize was when I asked for that, all these other things come along with it that I wasn't prepared for. And I think that goes along to what you're saying about hitting that certain number on the scale. They think that's going to be the answer, but when that happens, there's so many other pieces that are involved in that, that some come along with it, some you actually have to make mind shifts and actually do work on to get the results. It's not the magical answer, and I think that's getting people to understand that is the first step in making the shift they need to make.
That's really true. It's transformational to go through a process where you learn how to pay attention in the present moment to what's happening in your body right now and not judge that experience. That changes everything. It certainly did for me, and it changes things for my clients as well. Because once we are able to notice what's happening, and how that's so intimately related to food and eating, is because we eat not because we're hungry. We eat because we're happy, we're sad, we're anxious, we're worried, we're fearful, we're bored, we're lonely. Those are the reasons that people gain weight. And that particular process can only be unraveled on a permanent basis by beginning to notice how we respond to the stressors in our life and having more tools, different equipment, to help us cope with them besides eating. So this habit pattern that we have in our lives of responding to any emotional sensation, which is really a process that's happening in the body, and chemicals are being secreted in our body that contribute to that stress response. When we reach for food, we're not solving the problem of unwanted eating because we're not attending to what's causing the problem. So the first step is noticing. It's always noticing for me that leads to the opportunity for change, and noticing what's happening in the body is a doorway into that process.
I absolutely agree with you. And we believe that weight is really a symptom. It's not the end goal. If you take care of what's causing the weight, you're going to find your natural, healthy weight, and it's going to come together and get you healthy and get you exactly where you want to be, and do it in a way that is really going to last a lifetime and get people away from diets, which I think is so important. We're going to take a really quick break, and when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of mindful eating and some of the big ahas that you get from people when they finally realize how it affects what they're doing. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, CEO and founder of eWomen Network. We've partnered with American Express Open because of their commitment to supporting women entrepreneurs. The access and learning that they provide is invaluable for any business owner. The Open Forum CEO Bootcamp is a no-brainer for those who are serious about growing and expanding their business. You'll get inspirational keynotes from industry experts, hands-on learning and development workshops, connections with hundreds of female entrepreneurs, and topics curated for women by women. Enjoy free networking, fresh ideas, and stellar speakers for your business. On behalf of American Express Open, I invite you to attend this event on September 30th in Chicago at the Fairmont Chicago Hotel. or you can join us via live stream. Register now at openforum.com/CEO bootcamp. That's openforum.com/CEO bootcamp.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley. Today we're talking with Lisa Schmidt, known as the Mindful Nutritionist, and we're talking about mindful eating. Before the break, we were talking about what it means to be a mindful nutritionist and some of the things that mindful eating means. And I want to come back and start. I love to ask all of my guests first, what motivates them to live a healthy life and share their message? It's what we call your big why. So Lisa, what is your big why and how has it motivated you to stay healthy and to help others get healthy?
Well, I have to say that my big why is really about helping relieve suffering in the world. I am very moved by the amount of time, energy, and suffering that people, primarily women, carry in their lives because of their bodies. And they're not just their bodies, but their body hatred, hatred of their own weight, hatred of any type of weight that they carry, and just this driving interest to get rid of it. And so I spend much of my waking hours thinking about ways that I can be more effective in working with clients where the message I deliver can help reach people more successfully. And that really motivates me. And the other thing that motivates me is my own personal experience with mindfulness, my own personal practice with mindful movement and mindful practice, because it has had so many benefits for me and has transformed my own life in how I feel about my own body, feel about food and nourishment, and relieves any kind of suffering that I may be carrying too. So I love the opportunity. I feel very passionate about the opportunity to share this message. And mindfulness is a really ancient practice that has contemporary benefits and is something that has shown the test of time of being effective, powerful, and with no side effects.
I can see that. And from all the things that you do, I can see that it's really helping people really motivate you, and you've kind of been on the journey so you can share it with people, and I think that's so important. I know for me, I've lost and kept off about 35, 40 pounds, and it's interesting because when you talked about body hatred and how we look at ourselves, I still catch myself, and I'm not, skinny by any means, but I'm healthy, and I still catch myself, though, seeing myself as I was at my heaviest, not where I am currently. So, and even though it's been a number of years, I think it's sometimes hard to shift how we see ourselves. It's something I have to pay attention to on a daily basis, not obsess over it, but pay attention to it and be aware of my language and what I say, because we can kind of go down that rabbit hole of paying attention to things that aren't important and then missing the things that are so key.
That's really true. it's been true for me as well. And one of the, in my experience, I lost 44 pounds 30 years ago and have maintained that weight loss for many, many years. And the fat voice stays buried in our consciousness that comes out at times of stress, generally will come out at times of perhaps insecurity or other types of experiences that rock us in a more unconscious way, that are habits of the mind and ways that we have responded to those kinds of experiences historically. So one of the things that's really wonderful about the experience of paying attention to the present moment without judgment is that when we catch ourselves, notice these voices, thoughts, feelings that are coming up, it's wonderful to be gentle and curious. And that gentleness and curiousness is in contrast to our real harsh approach that we traditionally take towards eating and exercise. You know, rather than responding to those voices with thoughts about going on a very low-calorie diet or training for a marathon, it can be very life-changing to be curious about those comments, to attend to what's really going on, and to make take positive action as a result of that.
Oh, that's an interesting... you said a couple things there that really caught me. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day and talking about how we tend to judge and compare ourselves to others and not take a step back and say, what is the message really telling us? My husband shared recently a quote, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but we tend to compare other people's highlight reels to our behind the scenes and what we're doing. And we sometimes tend to forget that when something happens and it's we're confronted with it, we tend to forget that we need to take a step back and say, okay, what's the message really telling us? What are those voices in our head telling us? And instead of judging it, it's looking at it more curiously to say, okay, what's the message? And that's probably one of the biggest things I've learned as I've gotten older, is not to be so judgmental on what it's saying, but actually take a step back and say, okay, what is it actually telling me to pay attention to, and where am I supposed to be focusing, not on the negative side, but what actions can I take and shift?
Yeah, the business of feeling bad is really big business in this country. And so partially, I think it's very liberating to recognize the pressure that's on women and more so on men to look a certain way as we're bombarded by media images of unattainable bodies, unattainable skin. We never age. We're the perfect size zero. And that's the gateway to a happy life, a successful life. And that type of media manipulation feeds into both the diet business, which is a $40 billion industry in the United States, also the pharmaceutical business, the business of drugs that support, with air quotes, support weight loss. We end up being depressed. That feeds into the antidepressant business in the United States. And in general, and lest I forget the food business. So at the same time, we're told we're overweight. We're bombarded with messages of unhealthy foods in gigantic portions that are designed to be highly palatable so that we overeat them at any opportunity. So it's very crazy making the culture that we're immersed in. And so once again, for me to be able to have tools at my disposal about that support my values and the life that I want to live is a really helpful, it's just life affirming, and it helps me cut through that clutter and create a healthy, active life at an appropriate body weight, eating real, whole, nourishing foods that are sustainably produced and that help protect me from premature aging and unwanted illnesses due to poor diet.
Well, I think that self-awareness is so important. Can you share with us what are some of the biggest ahas from people that you work with when they truly understand the concept of mindful eating?
Well, one of the experiences that's the most profound for my clients is when they come to see me to lose weight, my clients will begin with saying, you know, just tell me what to do. Give me a food plan. Well, first of all, if you want to lose weight and do it from a food plan, you can download something from the Internet very easily now because there's diets all over the Internet that are the appropriate amount of calories to lose weight. And certainly that's not why people should come to see me. When my clients say, tell me what to do, I'll ask them, well, what do you want to do? And then my clients will say, well, I want to lose weight. So what should I eat? And then I'll ask, what do you want to eat? And then they'll say, I don't know. So then we have a conversation about, what do I want to eat? Well, what I want people to eat is food that is nutritious, delicious, and healthful. So then we start talking about what that means to them. And I will say to my clients, you can eat whatever you want as long as you're hungry. Do you know when you're hungry? And most of my clients say no. So then we have a conversation about what it means to notice hunger, what it means to notice fullness, where in the hunger fullness scale they should be eating. And if they're in that place of hunger, choosing what they really want to eat, not what they think they should eat, not what they think that they ought to eat, or even what's healthy or not healthy, but what do they really want? So this process of mindful eating really means that you can eat any of the foods that you love anytime you desire them. It's moving away from eating by the clock instead of eating by body rhythm. So you have to learn how to distinguish between hunger and fullness and the difference between biological hunger from emotional hunger. And so once my clients make this connection through practice, their relationship with food and their body is transformed. It's amazing for me to see, particularly with binge eaters and overeaters, how that is life-changing for them. And they lose weight.
I absolutely agree with that. And we take people through an exercise very similar and get people to really understand and identify what physical hunger feels like. And when we ask that question in the very beginning, most people can't describe it. They get confused between physical hunger and emotional hunger. And what we tell them is one of the biggest things that can help you discern between the two is with physical hunger, almost any type of food will do because your body needs nourishment. Whereas with emotional hunger, that's often when you're craving something very special. You want the chocolate or you want the salty foods or you want something very specific. So that, it, not always, but very often, that's a signal that it's emotional hunger versus physical hunger. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to continue this conversation because I think it's really important for people to understand maybe some of the what physical hunger, a couple things that they can identify. Is it physical or hunger, or is it stress eating? This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
At LifeScape, we believe in a proactive approach to your health or whole health, which is why we created the LifeScape Online Health Store. Browse our store for the best physician-recommended nutrition, skincare, and health-related products to fit any lifestyle and budget. Have your order shipped directly to your home or pick it up at our Scottsdale office. Our goal is to provide the most trusted products to enhance your health and beauty regimen. Visit LifeScapePremier.com/store today. LifeScape, whole health for a whole life.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back. We've been having a great conversation with Lisa Schmidt, known as the Mindful Nutritionist, and we've been talking about the difference between physical and emotional hunger. I want to continue that conversation and ask you, Lisa, if you could share maybe just a couple things for both physical hunger and emotional hunger so people can kind of start to identify, are they physically hungry or is it their emotions that's driving what they're doing?
Sure, I'd love to talk more about that. So one of the things that I do is use a scaling tool from 1 to 10 that helps clients identify where they are in between, you know, starving, eat, you could eat the couch kind of hunger, all the way to number 10, stuffed, you're passed out on the couch, you know, the post-Thanksgiving, completely beyond full experience that some of us can relate to. And what clients learn is that where we want to be in that hunger and fullness scale is somewhere between 3 and 7. So 5 is a neutral feeling, 7 is satisfied, 3 is I really need to eat soon. Otherwise, I may, you know, plow through the refrigerator to just get anything into my body. So being in that sweet spot between 3 and 7 is very helpful for people. And I have a really great tool on my website that is available to anyone who signs up for my newsletter that helps people understand whether or not they're hungry in a physical sense. So that's number one. Here's an example of physical hunger is, you know, your stomach is rumbling. You may feel lightheaded. People have different experiences with hunger. You may feel a fluttering in your chest or your stomach that might you might think is something else, but it's actually a biological signal that the body generates through a hormone response that gets us to eat. There are hormones that are responsible for signaling it's time to eat. There are hormones that are responsible for signaling it's time to stop eating. So those are real important responses in the body, physical responses in the body to attend to. Some people that get overly hungry physically will get a headache or get crabby or feel restless or different types of physical symptoms. So those are all some of the cues that indicate physical hunger is present. Now, with emotional hunger, I'll share an experience that's been true for me, and also I have clients that have had this experience as well, and we'll talk about the intervention. I've had a habit in much of my life of eating something sweet at the end of dinner, dessert. We would call it dessert. So as I've improved my diet over the years, I've moved away from having ice cream, which I used to have when I was a child at the end of every dinner, to maybe some fruit, some type of fruit and yogurt as a more quote-unquote healthy type of end of the meal. Now, in my history with dessert, when I was younger, I ate dessert even when I was stuffed. And I know that many people in this country have that same experience because many of my clients do, that, you know, at the end of the meal, we have dessert, we have it whether or not we're hungry. It doesn't mean anything. So when you eat a full meal and you're satisfied, yet you want dessert, that's generally an emotional experience. And so in my own life, what I started to do was get curious about this experience of wanting to eat something at the end of the meal, even though I was stuffed. And that led me into a process of exploration through curiosity and being gentle with my thoughts and saying, hey, you know, what's going on here? I wonder what's happening. And without going into too much detail, I learned that this was connected to a pattern of eating that I had as a child that was connected with affection and love and connection to my dad, who worked a lot, and we shared ice cream together after meals. Once I made that connection through a process of mindful inquiry, I was able to change it. And in fact, I no longer have that need for eating dessert or something sweet at the end of a meal. And I've had that same experience with clients as well who have explored this connection between, you know, ice cream seems to be one of those things that's attached to childhood memories of love and affection and feeling close. And it doesn't really serve that purpose in our adult lives and gets in our way of losing weight or maintaining weight loss.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's funny because we just bought some ice cream the other day for the grandkids because we like to keep it here at the house. But the thing that we do, which we didn't do, you know, a few years ago, is we buy the single serving cups. So it's just a half a cup. And
excellent.
Keep those in the freezer. And while they're a little bit more expensive, I get that. What we find is if we buy a half gallon of ice cream, which we very rarely do. It was my birthday recently, so we got some to go with cake, and there was a lot left over. And guess what? It disappeared in like 2 days. But when we have those little cups, they'll stay in the freezer for months because you're very conscious of a serving. You take one. You don't fill a bowl. So that's a great tip that people can use. Another thing that we share with people is the 3-to-5-bite rule. So if you really want dessert, take 3 to 5 small bites, but take one, put your fork down, and really enjoy it and taste it. And I know you do a lot of similar things. Really enjoy the flavor and then pick it up and have another bite. Stop at the end of 3, have a conversation, do something different, and in 15 minutes, if you want more, repeat it, but pay attention. And when I challenge people to do that, first of all, they don't believe it works, but you know, they're game to try a few things. They come back, and they're so shocked that when they take that next bite after that break, it doesn't taste as good. So then that's when I say, then don't eat it. If you're not really getting that sensation and that pleasure, don't waste the calories because you really don't need it. You're doing it just because you're doing it and you're not being mindful about what you're eating. And that has been a huge shift for people paying attention to how things taste. And I know when you talk about mindful eating, you have other things that people should pay attention to that about eating. And maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Taste is really important. And again, one of the things that's magical about being mindfully aware of the food that we're eating is that, and this fits in exactly to what you're talking about pausing and then noticing that the food doesn't taste as good, that's because the flavor burst that we get when we take the first bite of the food we're eating is an experience that no longer will be the same. Because there's actually anticipation and interest and sometimes longing for the foods that we love, that when we take that first bite, it just explodes as almost a symphony in our mouth, which, by the way, is biologically designed to help facilitate the digestion process. And when we're paying attention and we're focused on that act of eating, that experience dissipates bite by bite as the body gets full. And again, the beautiful design of our body and the way that our, you know, different salivary glands and the digestive process, how it all works together, it's designed to keep us from overeating. So when we're tuned into that process and the flavors and the colors and the sensation of chewing our food thoroughly, which also helps with digestion by breaking down the food particles before they begin to continue their journey into our digestive tract, that entire experience is part of nourishment and feeding that we miss when we eat mindlessly, when we're, you know, just driving down the road eating something, or we're watching TV and using our iPhones, completely distracted in a party situation or a family situation where there's high emotional intensity, we miss all those cues. So this experience of paying attention, slowing down, savoring the food we eat, noticing the smells, the feeling of the air in your skin can anchor you into the present moment, the heft of your silverware in your hand, feeling your utensils, any kind of sounds in the environment, all of those cues, which we can refine some of our ability to notice that through a formal mindfulness practice that I have in my life every day, those cues help anchor us and ground us into what's happening right now.
When you were just talking, I was thinking about someone that I had worked with probably about a year ago, and we were kind of going through when did she make the shift of having an issue with weight, and we were talking about mindfully eating and how does she eat her meals. And I said it was important, talking about all the things you just talked about, your environment, being very present, being quiet. And she goes, oh, I do that. I do that every morning for breakfast. And I said, well, tell me, I kind of want you to explain it to me, because what I find is people think they're doing it, but when you ask them to talk about it, and I'm sure you see that all the time, their definition of what it is very different than what it should be. And she said, I get everybody out of the house in the morning, and what I do is I grab my breakfast so I can eat in peace, and I eat it in the car on my way to work. And I have a 6-minute drive to work, and there's nobody bothering me, and that's when I eat my breakfast. And it's like, okay.
That's a great example. And one of the things that I will acknowledge is that I'm a mindfulness purist, so it's important to me that the term mindful and mindfulness is very popular right now, and it's thrown around in ways that, you know, are kind of interesting, but they're really not always that useful. And coming back to the definition of mindfulness, the thousands-year-old definition is paying attention to the present moment without judgment. Well, when I'm driving down the road eating my breakfast, which, by the way, I do sometimes because sometimes that's the only time I can eat a healthy breakfast, I'm not paying attention to the present moment without judgment. I'm paying attention to driving. That's really what I need to be doing and focused on that task. So when we're not present with the act of eating, we're overeating. That's almost universally happens because we are not aware of our cues of hunger and fullness. And we're also eating by the clock when we're doing that too. So I certainly don't judge anybody else's experience, but for me, what's different about the practice that I teach and that I model in my own life and that I try to communicate to others is, in order to notice what mindfulness is, it's useful to spend some time every day sitting in a chair, sitting on the floor, sitting on your yoga mat, sitting in your bed with the pillows propped up, just paying attention to your breath and how you're feeling in your body in the present moment, and doing that as a way to identify what's happening in the body.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes you have to eat in the car on the way to work, but this person was doing it every single day, and once she broke that habit, it made a huge difference. We need to go ahead and take our final break, and when we come back, I want to have you talk a little bit about some foods we can eat that help our moods and some of the results that people get from eating more mindfully. And also, I want to talk to you about a question you ask on your website. How do people want to spend the second act of their life? So this is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we've been talking with Lisa Schmidt, known as the Mindful Nutritionist, and having a great conversation on mindful eating, what it looks like, how you tell the difference between physical and stress eating. And I want to start this last segment with you by sharing a quote. It's, life really begins at 40. Up until then, you're just doing research. That's a quote by Carl Jung, who's a psychologist. I want to ask you, Lisa, because you have this question on your website that just really caught my attention, and I think will resonate with a lot of our listeners. The question is, how do you want to spend the second act of your life? And then you make the statement, what you eat and how you eat will help you get there. Can you talk about that for just a minute?
I know that it's important what we eat because I'm a trained nutritionist with Whole Foods Nutrition. And one of the philosophies that guides the work I do is that, which was said, again, thousands of years ago, let thy food be your medicine. So food has energetic, healing, and medicinal properties, and eating the right kind of food can make a difference and does make a difference in all types of health conditions, but it also matters how we eat. So for me, it's not enough just to eat a whole foods diet if I'm driving down the freeway eating my meals. It makes a difference how I eat, eating mindfully, paying attention to the experience of eating, paying attention to where my food comes from, eating high-quality food that in smaller amounts. So that's why it's not just what you eat, but how you eat that matters.
I know when I eat too much sugar or don't, I get really busy and I'll grab something, even though I know I'm supposed to stop and eat and really eat more balanced. Every once in a while, like you were talking earlier, you know you need to eat breakfast, you know, and do it the right way, but sometimes the only way you're going to get anything is if you grab and go. But I think people sometimes forget, they don't understand why they're not able to focus on their projects or they can't get things done. And it's a lot of it has to do with that mindful eating and the foods they choose and how they're actually eating.
Absolutely. There's a big connection between mood disorders on a more acute scale and nutrition. And when we talk about the standard American diet, which I refer to as the SAD diet, you know, that particular way of eating is characterized by high amounts of processed, highly processed, very refined foods that have limited nutritional value, that are high in sugar, that are very inflammatory to the body. Eating those foods creates inflammation and inflammatory processes in the body that leads to all kinds of biochemical and actual physical breakdown in the body. So, you know, that way of eating creates tremendous difficulty for the body's ability to function appropriately, as well as for mood regulation. And that's because one of the biggest contributors to mood disturbance is blood glucose and insulin, these two processes that happen in the body when we eat a lot of really highly refined sugary foods. So it can be very helpful to follow a diet plan that prevents hypoglycemia, which means reduce or eliminate refined sugar, alcohol, caffeine, and tobacco. Eating 4 to 6 small meals throughout the day can be very helpful, and then eating plenty of dietary fiber can be helpful too. And then some people have sensitivities to certain foods, and if that's the case, that's the kind of thing that we can work together on in my practice. But in general, most people are not sensitive to gluten. It's a popular thing to talk about. Gluten is not the evil that it's put out to be right now. But the kind of foods that are helpful are foods that are high in omega-3 fatty acids, which actually helps us grow and repair nervous tissue. And those are things like nuts, seeds, cold water fish like salmon, and vegetable oils like safflower, walnut, sunflower, and flaxseed oil. Foods that are rich in vitamin B6, which are needed for normal brain function, and that includes things like brewer's yeast, bok choy, spinach, banana, potato, and whole grains, and magnesium-rich foods, which are important for nerve conduction as well. Those are seeds, legumes, dark green leafy vegetables, soy products, almonds, pecans, cashews, wheat bran, and meats.
You read my mind, because I was going to ask you what were some of the things that we should focus on eating. So let me ask you, what are just a couple of the foods that you keep handy so when you don't really have time to stop and cook a whole meal or do something, what are a couple of your favorites that you grab when you need some nourishment and you don't have time to stop and cook a meal?
So I like to keep handy some small packs of nuts with a little bit of, you know, raisins, something for a bit of sweetness. So I have individual serving packs that are about, you know, 150, 200 calories each that I just get at Trader Joe's of, you know, roasted, unsalted raw or roasted nuts. I also like to have as a healthful alternative, you know, food is always better. So people love protein bars. That's something that is very handy and popular now. Food first, and if that isn't a possibility, then a whole foods bar like a Lara bar. I like those. Those are just fruit and nut bars with a couple hundred calories. So I can, in a pinch, I can have a Lara bar and a piece of fruit, like an apple or some sliced vegetables that I put in a baggie. That's kind of a grab-and-go type of meal. And for all of us, an apple and a string cheese can be a great snack that can tie you over until you can have a meal, or an apple and a little packet of nut butter. And even a nod to my beloved Starbucks, they have a terrific grab-and-go snack called a protein pack, which is 330 calories, and it includes a hard-boiled egg, a small piece of cheese, a very small whole grain bread. You know, it's not really a roll. It's smaller than that, and some nut butter and a handful of grapes. That's a terrific, very well-balanced snack that's good for grab-and-go. And believe me, I receive no compensation from Starbucks, but I love that protein pack as a grab-and-go.
I didn't even know they had that.
Oh, it's wonderful. There are many things at Starbucks that I don't recommend, and that's one of their better choices that's available.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that. This has been a great conversation about mindful eating, mindful practices, and I loved the statement that you made about the first bite being like a symphony in your mouth. And I really want to challenge everyone who's listening to this conversation to really pay attention to how food tastes when you're eating, and really to the flavor and the taste. And I think that in itself will be a huge step towards eating more mindfully. So can you tell our listeners how they can get more information about you and about some of the things that you offer?
Yes, I would love to, and thanks for the opportunity. So I have a website. It's Lisa Schmidt Counseling, and the way that is spelled is Lisa, L-I-S-A, Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, counseling.com. You can also Google the Mindful Nutritionist and get to my site as well. And on my website, you can sign up for my newsletter and receive a free tool that will help you determine whether you're hungry or not and what to eat if you are. I offer for people who are hearing this that live in the Phoenix area, I offer mindful eating workshops, and I have a great series, three-class workshop series coming up in October that I would love to have some listeners inquire. I also am available for online and virtual coaching as well as virtual classes. So anyone who's listening outside of the Phoenix area can access my information through my site as well. And just always interested in hearing from people who are interested in making changes or who have questions about mindful eating and nutrition in general as well as mindfulness practice. I'm available for those questions too.
Perfect. And we will put a link to your website and for people to connect with you at eatgreatlivewellradio.com too, so they'll be able to find you. And as we end our conversation, can you give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to really start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love?
Yes. The next time you sit down to eat, for whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, before you dive into your food, take 3 deep breaths. So just in through the nose and out through the nose, breathe in deeply. And as you exhale, just allow your body to settle. And just do that for 3 times and then begin to eat and notice if anything is different. So in yoga as well as mindfulness, we encourage people to take one part action and then one part reflection. So when you try something like 3 mindful breaths, just notice what happens. And nothing has to happen, but just pay attention to what happens as a response of something that you tried different, like 3 mindful breaths.
That's a great first step in becoming mindful. So thank you very much for sharing that. And I've really enjoyed our conversation today and the time you've taken out of your busy schedule to just really sit down and share so much with us.
Thank you, Janelle. It's just great to talk to you.
So for all of you that are listening, just remember that each week you want to take a small step, and Lisa gave you a great one today, that you can take to make a positive difference in your health and your life. One small step a week, and in 52 weeks, in 1 year, you'll have made a big transformation in your relationship with food and in your health. The healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourselves and your family. And I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the continued conversation. Let us know what steps you're taking towards mindful eating and what questions you have, and we'll be sure to get them to Lisa and have her back for another conversation as we continue our dialogue in building a healthy relationship with food. Have a great week. Be mindful of what you're eating, and take care, and bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.